Thank you, Pastor Rich, and greetings to every one of you tonight on this cold Sunday night. Thank you for coming out to the house of God, and I pray that you will be blessed as a result of hearing the word of the Lord tonight as we share it. I want to talk to you tonight about directions for difficult days. Directions for difficult days. We are the first Sunday night in a new year, and so there's a sense in which we can look forward to the new year knowing that we're going to be a lot of happy times. Are you trusting God for some happy times this year? Amen. God's on the throne and He blesses His people, and we're going to have some happy times. I pray that we also have some holy times of devotion and meditation in our lives. If you don't have daily devotions, if you don't have a time when you set aside just to commune with Jesus, I pray that you would incorporate that. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be an hour or 3 hours, but just a time when you yourself get alone with the Word of God. So there's going to be some happiness in this new year. And then if the Lord tarries, there's probably going to be some heartaches in the new year. We don't like to think much about heartaches. If we talk too much about them, people say we're negative, but I don't think it's negative to expect, since we live in a world that is under the control or under the influence, largely in these days, the prince of the power of the air, that there's going to be some heartaches in our lives individually. The enemy of our soul is going to see to that. If any of us think we're just going to cruise through this year in fifth gear without some difficulties, we're just fooling ourselves. There's a lot of things about the new year that we already know. We know that God is on the throne. We know that the Word of God is eternal. We know that He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. There's just a lot of things in this uncertain time that we don't know, but there's a lot more things relating to the eternal that we do know than the earthly that we don't know. Do you agree with that? And I thank God for that. So there's the knowns of the new year, and there are the unknowns of the new year. And it's primarily some of those unknowns that I just want to acquaint you with tonight of when they come. It's not going to be a matter if difficult days come in our lives individually or corporately in this coming year. It's just when they come. You know, if I was to mention the name Rand McNally to you, almost every single one of you would recognize immediately. You wouldn't say, well, I know him. He lives down the street a little ways. He's one of my neighbors. No, you would say Rand McNally. That relates to maps. You probably, if you have any maps at all, you have a map that was put out by Rand McNally because it's the world's largest commercial map maker. Recently, there was an advertisement that stated that Rand McNally and Company offers the most trusted tools to discover, map, and navigate the entire world. It was founded, was Rand McNally, in 1856, which is a long time ago. And it's headquartered in Skokie, Illinois. And its motto is, Rand McNally, the most trusted name on the map. Kind of a little play on words there. Rand McNally specializes in giving directions to travelers as they take earthly journeys. Tonight, I want to give you some biblical directives or directions, instructions for the new year from a most traveled, most trusted roadmap ever given. Many a traveler has found it to be totally trustworthy and reliable. In fact, all who have followed it have never lost their way or deviated from the right path. It's more reliable than GPS. Isn't GPS something that you could just get in your car and that little machine just talks to you? It says, turn left here, Larry, and turn right here. And then it goes, beep, beep, and then that's when you're supposed to turn. And it'll take you, for the most part, GPS will take you to where you're supposed to go. But there's something even better than GPS, which is, of course, the acronym for Global Positioning System. There's another type of GPS, God's positioning system. And that's His holy word. And so it's, if you use that, if you keep your eyes on God's global positioning system, I maintain that's a couple of things. That's the blessed Holy Spirit, and that's the Word of God. That keeps us in position to where God wants us to direct us and to take us there. So if you have your Bibles now, I want you to direct your attention to just a short passage. Proverbs chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 3 are two of the most wonderful chapters in the book of Proverbs. If you don't read them often, I hope you'll at least read them occasionally, because those two chapters are absolutely amazing when it comes to just giving you personal instruction and direction. And I'm just seizing. I could talk a long time on those two chapters, but just I'm going to talk for a while just chapters 3, verses 5 and 6. And you already know these verses. I'm sure nearly every one of you. How many of you memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Just lift your hand. Yeah, probably a great percentage of you. And if you don't know this, if you don't know those two verses, you ought to asterisk it in your mind and say, boy, I need to know those verses because they are God's directions for difficult days. So here it is. Trust in the Lord. This is from the ESV. Your translation may read just a little different, but it's the same in meaning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths, or He will direct your paths. Now, you'll notice a couple of things there. The reason that we need directions is found right there because in the latter part of verse 6, it says, He will make straight your paths, which indicate there's a lot of trails out there in life that every one of us can take every day and even every year. That if you've ever tried to, we always talk about it being a rabbit track, because a rabbit's just here and there, and he hops around, he comes back here, goes over there. If you've ever tried to follow a rabbit track, you lose your mind. You just kind of have to look where he made a little circle and then look to where he might have headed off in a big direction after he made all of his little bunny hops around and around and around. Well, the Word of God tells us that there's a lot of different ways or paths that a person is able to walk. And you and I will walk some of those paths. We will have some difficult days. We don't know what they're going to be. They might be some difficult days at your work. Have you ever have a difficult day at your work? Probably never. There might be some difficult days dealing with health. We pray a lot, don't we, in this church? That's why we have a prayer chain primarily, to help us be aware as a body of believers to pray for people that are having difficulties in their health. And we've prayed for several of those even this evening. You might have some difficulties in your finances this year. You might have some difficulties in your family this year. You may have some difficulties at school this year. You may have some difficulties dealing with COVID or some other type of physical illness this year. We don't know. There might be difficulties in marriage. I've got down a bunch of them here that I could go through. So what I want us to deal with for a little while now is how to meet. That is number one. How do we meet the difficulties of life? Because Job, and I could use a number of references for this, Job says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Have you parents ever thought about that with some of your children? It seems like they're born to trouble as sure as sparks fly upward. They're always doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or you'd rather they be doing something else. Man is born to trouble as sure as the sparks fly upward. So it's telling us here, the secret is learning how to meet our troubles. Difficulties along life's journeys are certain. Therefore, the question is not what to do if we run into them, but how to deal with them when we do. We cannot escape them. We cannot escape problems and pitfalls. That's not possible. No matter where we are or who we are, they are a part of this sinful fallen race. So how do we deal? How do we meet the difficulties of life? There's only two basic responses to that. You think there might be more, but basically the first one is you can respond to your difficulties. There's a human response. You can respond from your own flesh. That's what it's talking about in 5b there, where it says, do not lean on your own understanding. That's a human response. Sometimes we are able to figure out a few difficulties, but there's just going to be things that come our way this year that we should not try to respond to in the human, nor even if we do, will we be able to solve that situation. When it says, lean not unto your own understanding, the word lean there is a very enlightening word. It means don't support yourself with your own intellect. Don't support yourself with your own ego. Don't support yourself with your own thoughts. I can handle this. That word also has, when it says, do not lean on your own understanding, it means don't prop yourself up with a substitute. Whatever that substitute may be, sometimes people prop themselves up with alcohol. Sometimes they prop themselves up with drugs. Sometimes they prop themselves up with just a lot of other things. But when the Bible says, don't lean into your own understanding, it's talking there, that's a human response to our difficulties, and that is not the solution. Number B, and I'm going to hasten on to this so that I can get this all in. Number B is the way we should respond to our difficulties. We don't want a human response to our difficulties when we have heavenly resources for our difficulties. God has provided them for us there, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's our heavenly resource right there. Instead of leaning to our own understanding. I love that word trust. When we're faced with difficulties of life, we have to have a refuge that we can run to. I saw a deal the other night I watched him on YouTube building a storm shelter. And it was so interesting. Next to this house, they had a big excavator. And this excavator was digging out. And they put this huge plastic, very thick, big gold plastic thing down there. And it holds 12 people that people can run to in this. They're in a tornado era alley. And they have a deal there where they can go right out of their house, open that door, dash down into that storm shelter. That's their refuge for tornadoes. And somebody said, how do you keep the door from getting sucked open if it goes by? But once they get in there, they had several things that they could fasten the door so that the storm could pass over. The storm could actually take their house. But it wasn't going to bother them because they had a refuge. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is our refuge. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. 2 Samuel 22:3 says, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and here's that word again, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. The psalmist declares in Psalm 9, verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a strength in time of trouble. So what we have there is this aspect that we have two responses, basically only two, that we can make to the difficulties of life that's going to come our way this year. And we never know what that's going to be. And it might not just be one at a time. Sometimes the difficulties come like a tsunami. There's a group of them all at once. But what do we do there? We can have a human response. We can throw up our hands and we can go into a depression. We can go into a self-pity party. We can say, I've got this. I'll get through this. It doesn't matter. Nothing can get me down. That's the human response. Or we have a heavenly resource that we can just go to the Lord and say, Heavenly Father, this thing's threatening to capsize my boat on the ship of life. Would you please give me strength in this time? So it goes back to that It goes back to that aspect that we have either a human response to our difficulties or heavenly resources. Now, here's another thing that this teaches us here. How do we maintain, point number two, is not only how do we meet the difficulties of life. That's big. How we meet, I could talk the whole message on that and have 12 points on it rather than just two. But here's a second big concern that I have and that I know some of you. How do we maintain the devotion of life to our Heavenly Father? One of the dangers we face on the highway of life is losing the fervency of our faith. It has been said that the older we get, the colder we get. I hope that's not true. I know that it's true of my feet, but I don't want it to be true of my heart. The older you get, you'll find this out. I see a lot of the old folks that say, no, that's really true. Yeah, preach it, Larry. The older you get, your feet lose their circulation. You don't have as good a circulation at the extremities of your body as you do in other portions of your body. And so you walk around all the time, or not all the time, but most of the time with cold feet. But you know the tragedy, something far worse than cold feet, is a cold heart. It's to allow ourselves as believers, and this is always before me, that in my old age, I would not lose faith or fervency for Jesus. That I would not become callous or careless or complacent. That I would not become presumptuous. I know that I'm secure in Christ. I know that. But I don't think security in Christ allows us complacency. I don't think knowing that my Heavenly Father said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you, underneath are the everlasting arms. I don't think that means just coast all the way to heaven, take it easy. You don't need, this idea of being in church all the time and doing all these things, that's just so much nonsense. No. We need to maintain our devotion. How do we do that? Well, again, it's right here. We have an association with God. Do you see that there in verse 5? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's verse 6. First part of verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Eliza Hewitt was an invalid for most of her life because of a spinal condition. And out of her experience of suffering and being confined to a bed, she developed an intimate experience with the Lord, an intimate relationship, kind of like Johnny Tada. I think of her words, and they were later set to music by John Sweeney. And this is what she said, this lady who was confined to her bed 24/7. She said, "More about Jesus let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be showing the things of Christ to me." And then more about Jesus. Your very presence here tonight indicates that you want to start this new year and walking with God, remain constant and committed in your devotion to the Lord. If you sense your heart is getting cold, and you will, the Holy Spirit's faithful. He convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment. And if you sense your heart is getting cold or careless, I beg you, say, Lord, don't let me turn into a lump of coal at the end of my life. Help me to finish in full stride for Jesus. Let that be your goal and your passion and your desire. And you don't have to be old to have that, because your heart can grow cold or callous even when you're of younger years. And you can go through a whole group of years just coasting, as it were, without any fervency in your faith for Christ. So that point number A there, how do I maintain my devotion? In all my ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now, forever, and forever." And then the second thing is to cultivate a continual awareness of God. One of the things that I pray for in my own heart is where Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Day and night. When you wake up in the night, don't let that just be a time where you stand there or lie there looking at the ceiling and letting troubles flood in on your mind. Use that for prayer. Use that for listening to the Word of God. Use that for interceding. Keep your focus upon the things of the Lord. It's at nighttime that fears are always magnified, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that? That even brave people, in the middle of the night sometimes, fears are magnified. But focus your mind. Make yourself, call yourself, to and ask the Holy Spirit to call you to an awareness of God. That's how you will, if you acknowledge Him and you stay aware of Him. And you stay aware of Him by cultivating that relationship. It's just like a marriage. You're aware that you're married, but you grow in your devotion, in your marriage life, by creating that constant awareness of saying kind things, doing kind things. That's the same way with our Heavenly Father. So that's the second aspect there. We meet the difficulties of life through human response or a heavenly resource. We maintain the devotion of our life to God through acknowledging God in every area, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And we do that through a constant and continuing commitment. And then lastly, the last thing here that the Word of God would say, how do we make the difficult decisions of life? Notice what it says, the promise, if we do that. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And here's the promise. He shall direct thy paths. He is the heavenly Rand McNally, so to speak. He is the one that will give us directions. He says, in all your ways acknowledge Me. And I won't lead you down a dead end. I won't leave you in a quandary. There may be times when you have to wait on Me for the revelation of My will. But My Word is going to be there with you, and I will be your constant guide. I will be your rear guard. I'll go in front of you, behind you, to your left hand, to your right hand, above you, beneath you. I've got this covered. So how does He do that? First of all, He directs us on proper paths. When it says, the Lord will direct you in straight paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He will never lead you wrongly. So that's proper paths that God leads us on. Not improper paths. Not impure paths. But proper paths. Proverbs 2:15. Men whose ways or paths are crooked, who are desirous and froward in their way. And that word in Proverbs chapter 2, if we went back over there, it speaks of that which is distorted, that which is froward. It speaks of that which turns aside. One of you was telling me the other night, he was coming home, the roads were so bad that he was going to turn into a deviation, a pathway off the road, was looking for it and found out they were on that without a reason. Was that you, Steve, or was it somebody else that turned into a rest stop without even knowing they were in the rest stop? They just were able to see enough of the road and it looked like it went here, so they went that way. And all at once they thought, this isn't the highway. We're at a rest stop. How do we get here? It's so easy to lose our way in the storm if we don't have our Heavenly Father's directing us on a proper path. And then the nice thing about this is, too, notice that word there, it says, the word direct also carries the idea of prosperous. None of us here, I don't think, are health, wealth, and prosperity individuals trying to tie God to that. But I do believe that the Word of God says in Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So, my thoughts to us tonight are this. As believers, we can go into this new year in sure assurance, that we're going to have some difficulties. Yes, we are. What are they going to be? We don't know. I don't know. You don't know. Some of them may not pose a life-threatening matter, but some of them may. Just like this precious doctor that lost his life here. Did you think he had any idea when he got in that airplane that that was his last trip on life? No. None of us know when our final journey is. Psalm 3, 5, and 6 gives us God's global positioning system on how to navigate through. So we're going to have problems. How do we deal with them? Through prayer. We're going to have a boondoggles, a lot of boondoggles when we say, I don't know what to do. What do? Go to the Word of the Lord. And that's why you should have Proverbs 3, 5, or 6 written down somewhere. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In other words, don't say, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, just ask from God, and He'll be there and say, I'll help you. It's always I was watching the other day, one of the precious little tiny children was toddling down the hall and was just doing its best to stand upright and stay upright. And it was about 15 or 20 feet from Dad. And when it looked up and saw its dad, and it was lifting its arms up before it ever got near to Dad. It's like, come and rescue me. I'm in some big trouble around here. I'm going to fall on my nose in about 2 minutes. And Dad went over and swooped the little one up and held it. That's what our Heavenly Father wants to do in the difficult places of life. I just beseech you, make this a year when you set a time to read the Word of God, a time to pray. Doesn't have to be long, but I would encourage you even to have a prayer list. You don't have to go through the whole prayer list every time. Dory and I've had to learn how to cut ours down because if I lean that chair back when I'm praying, the next thing I shall say, Larry, are you even listening? I say, sweetheart, I know the Lord is. He's listening. We have to cut our prayer list down because there's so many people and so many situations on there. But it keeps you mindful that you don't lose out in remembering to pray for certain people and certain needs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. No human responses. No. So easy. Pride. Oh. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He, His promise, I will direct your paths. I've got a divine GPS just for you. Shall we pray?